Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This podcast is sponsored by Montana's great state parks. Visit fwp.mt.gov.
Searching for adventure that supports local community, boosts the economy, and gets you outside? Get away to one of Montana's 55 state parks. For events, park guidelines, and more, visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. See you out there.
Thinking economic development in Montana, it takes on a lot of looks. We're talking tech, still big ag, lots of industry in the state as well. What are investors looking for when they come to Montana? Commerce Director Paul Green might have some idea about that. He's a special guest in studio today. We'll talk about a red carpet welcome program, attracting new businesses into Montana. Still love that world-famous Made in Montana program. That's been going on 40 years. What else is going on there at Commerce? We're going to dig into that today, we're going to find out how we can stir up jobs and into our treasure state economy. Commerce Director Paul Green today on Voices of Montana. Commerce Director Paul Green is in studio today. Let's just launch right into it here, okay? Paul, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, sir. What a beautiful Friday this is. Looks like we're going to have some great weather coming up.
I love this this whole idea, coming in studio and chatting, throwing some ideas around here. You've been Commerce Director for like about 8 months, right?
Right.
How's that going?
I have to say that best job I've ever had. Next to being a dad.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in today. The thing that I guess is first on my mind is this red carpet welcome. But we just saw you a couple of weeks ago up in Colstrip. Went up there to do the energy open. Some big news up there regarding that high voltage transmission line. It's going to be actually the first that's going to significantly connect the Western grid and the Eastern grid, which is a surprise, I think, for some people to learn that they weren't so connected. But Commerce had a big hand in that, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm very proud to announce that Commerce has received a grant of about $750 million on a $4 billion project. The Eastern Grid Transmission Line is going to make Colstrip basically the center of the energy world once again.
Yeah.
I mean, we always hear about the imminent death of Colstrip, and now Colstrip is really the birthplace or the renaissance of a new energy opportunity for the entire state. I'm very excited. One of the things that I really, being an Eastern Montana guy, I wanted to see the economy in Eastern Montana grow as well as Western Montana. We look at Western Montana as, I always describe it like a wildfire. In Western Montana, we got a raging wildfire that we have to manage. Eastern Montana, we got to start a few fires. And this development is significant. $700 million goes to the infrastructure. $47 million goes to economic impact. So the counties that are impacted by this are going to receive a significant benefit, including Southeast Montana Development Corporation, where Jim Acheson's really been pushing a lot of this stuff over the last 22, 23 years.
Oh, and he's just been a hound dog. Yeah. On behalf of that community. But also, he sees what I think a lot of people see, all that potential there,
yeah,
for energy. What makes that happen? I mean, I guess the infrastructure there, folks like Jim Acheson as well. But $750 million or a billion dollars,
yeah,
significant investment. What makes that happen?
Well, what makes it happen is that the need. I mean, that obviously we saw last January, actually when I was appointed. On the day I was appointed, we had that impact of negative 40 degrees for approximately a week. What we saw was an increase in our tax or our electric bill, mm-hmm, over 10 times. It's because we could only receive electricity from the greenies and, those solars, those winds. Our base load was just the same out of Colstrip, but we were buying exponentially higher priced electricity from the West Coast. Now we're going to have flexibility, that 3.8 gigs sending and receiving, now Montana can either be an exporter or an importer of energy.
And that's a high voltage line as well. I mean, there's technology that brings that to Montana too. And I think I got to take a break here, but we'll come back and maybe hit some of those. I'm still on to energy here, but technology, there's a new tech hub and Commerce Department had a part to play in that. Welcome back. Commerce Director Paul Green in studio here today. Tom Schultz alongside. We'll get into, well, the Headwaters Tech Hub. There's a lot of buzz about that as well. I want to welcome, he's going to be filling in for me in a couple of days, Vaughn Zenko. He is actually a developer from the Eastern Montana Baker area, an affiliate member for a long time and a good friend. Good morning, Vaughn.
Hey, good morning, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being in. He's here to train, at least to kind of, you know, I'm training a 20-year, 30-year veteran, so to speak. He's going to take over for a couple of days in September. But, you know, with Paul, Director Paul Green in studio too, Vaughn, we're talking right in your area here. You're also the Executive Director of SMART, the Southeast Montana Area Revitalization Team.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I know.
Well done.
Yeah, don't ask me to spell revitalization or even say it again. But so, you know, as Paul was talking about energy, Baker's always been an energy community, so to speak. And then you look at the struggles that Colstrip is having, so to speak, but what they're doing about it, Vaughn, is the thing, is that they're not going, oh, our town is going to crumble. What they're doing is our town is viable for this and this and this and this. Your thoughts as you kind of, you're in economic development now in Eastern Montana.
Well, I think, you know, in Eastern Montana, obviously ranching is a huge part of it. But I mean, the energy sector is a massive driver of the economy. And as Colstrip goes, so does a lot of Eastern Montana just in general. And I love what Paul and Commerce have done with the North Plains Connector and with what they're doing with the transmission line. And it's already had a significant impact just in that area. And Rosebud, Fallon, Custer counties are already seeing the impact of that transmission line coming through just with the funds that are coming into those areas for economic development. And that's only going to continue to grow. Because right now, when you look at rural Montana and you look at Southeast Montana, it's great when you talk about business and industry, but we need that infrastructure to create that business or to create that business and industry. And the energy sector and what they're doing and what Commerce is doing with this North Plains Connector is what's going to help Southeast Montana create that infrastructure to really build to the future.
Paul, I mean, it's a game changer, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, our most difficult task right now is overcoming the energy problems. I have a significant number. I mean, literally billions of dollars worth of industry that wants to come in, but the energy is the problem. This solves that problem. So that allows Eastern Montana perhaps to become the economic center of the renaissance of the economy for the state of Montana.
And it wasn't not that long ago that this was still just sort of an idea that they were working toward. But they got over the hump and bam, it's going to happen.
I've Jim and I have talked for years about all these different ideas, all these different opportunities. You know, the reality is always the difficult one. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, everybody's got a lot of great ideas, and even the Grid United project was the reality hadn't really set in. This $750 million pushes them over the top and makes it viable for everyone, and that is so exciting for this state.
And as we learned a couple of weeks ago when we were there, they have most of the rights of ways already secured for this. Most of the path is, I mean, I think he said upwards of 95%.
97%.
Yep. Yeah. So it's fun to see actually projects kind of come to fruition, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And Grid United spent more than they probably would have figured, but they wanted to do it the right way. So they went to the landowners. We all know that Eastern Montana, we're very independent. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do.
You're still ranching down there.
Well, my wife still tells me what to do. So
okay, there you go.
Let's be real here.
Yeah.
But it definitely is, you know, they found a pathway that worked with everyone. And if you look at the path, it's not a straight line at all, because they really did work with the landowners, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah, you got to zoom in on the path to find that out. I mean, it's pretty direct. And It's going to happen in a couple of years, I think. I think they're expecting 2025 completion.
So that's exciting.
So Director Paul Green is with us again, Commerce Director, veteran of the U.S. Navy as well. Paul, thank you for your service there.
Thank you.
Former legislator and still ranching in that area too. You were telling us a little story about, you know, you're out there in the mud. You look at your clock. I got to run. There's a suit and tie in the truck. I'm going to go put that on if I can get cleaned.
Yeah. It's definitely a whiplash effect where I go from being the knuckle dragger that I identify myself to having to negotiate hundreds of millions of dollars worth of economic impact to the state.
I want to talk about that here in a little bit. The red carpet welcome and you know, all the creating those relationships. But you have relationships already existing, like with folks like Von Zenko and his development organization, SMART. How vital is that? How do you work in collaboration? What do you put on them? What do they put on you?
Great question. You know, when I came into commerce, because I was in economic development, I have to admit that when I was in Hardin, I felt like commerce was an ivory tower that Eastern Montana was not allowed to access. Yeah. I brought in the power plant into Hardin. It was a coal-fired power plant. I didn't get a single dime from the coal board, which is shocking. So when I went to commerce, the first thing I wanted to do was rebuild relationships. I wanted to reach out to everyone. I wanted commerce's. I have three legs to my stool. One of them is I want Montana, everybody in Montana, to have equitable opportunity to get into the commerce programs. That means Opine to Lincoln. Everybody has to have access to it. Two, I wanted commerce to be where everybody wanted to work, because if you have good, hardworking people, you're going to be successful. It just, our relationships that we build, without knowing what the stakeholders need out there, we're just going to fail. You know, how can we create policy if we don't know the people? And that's why I enjoy the one-on-one relationships. I put over 30,000 miles on my vehicle already this year, traveling.
In 7 months since you've been.
Yeah. And we actually even had to hire a Tony Brockman to help me, because there is so much demand for our work out there, and it's a huge state.
We're going to talk more about that, but Vaughn, I'm going to have you comment as well. How now, you've been the executive director of SMART for maybe a year now.
Three years.
That
time
long.
Flies.
Whoa. Well, and I've noted that you guys have done an awful lot of things in your community as well. How do you work with commerce? How with Commerce Director Paul Green here? What do you need? What are you going to give him? What is he going to give you? He's looking at you square in the eye right now. Talk about how this collaboration begins and where it goes.
You know what I love about what Paul is doing right now, and what the administration in general is doing, is working with the boots on the ground, the economic development agencies. And we kind of view ourselves as like the special forces of commerce. Like, they don't know what it's like in Eastern Montana. So we make those relationships, and then we're able to carry on their programs and actually be able to get that done in Eastern Montana and find the best places for these dollars, the best opportunities to help the area. So that's kind of the relationship between commerce and economic development, is like, hey guys, we've got these opportunities for you. Now, what can you there in Baker or in Montana, in Eastern Montana in general, what can you do with that? And that's kind of where our job is. So it's a great symbiotic relationship between the two of us.
Did you have anything to follow up on that, or
no?
Just that it works that way.
I appreciate that. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish here. Mm-hmm. We recognize the fact that, you know, some of the things that we looked at in our programs, I sat down and dotted out a map, and within 120 miles. We had 98% of our funding go 120 miles from Helena, and that wasn't right. And so we had to look at how do we build programs that capture good things that's going on in the smaller communities, not just eastern, northeastern, Southwest. It's really a great opportunity to get some good ideas. And the only way we get them is having the boots on the ground.
Economy of the Treasure State, it is diverse. It does continue to grow. Work at the Commerce Department assists that. We have Navy veteran director Paul Green with us here in studio today. And also Von Zenko, a friend of the program, and he'll be filling in here in a couple of days. And also economic development as the executive director of SMART, the Southeast Montana Area Revitalization Team. And thank you both for being here. Appreciate that. We got Von on double duty here as well. In fact, Von, why don't you just take over?
Oh, geez.
We'll see where it goes. No, just kidding. Thank you again both for being here. As I left, we were talking about the red carpet welcome a little bit. And I know there's more to that. How do you deploy that? How, when you're talking to an investor who's interested in Montana, how do those conversations go? Talk about why you think it's so important to build those relationships from the bottom up.
I'm glad you asked that question. We have a business attraction team that actually works very well in developing a red carpet program that is customized to what those companies are interested in. But one of the things that we found out is that the thing that attracts most people is quality of life. And instantly, Montana rises to number one on that. It's a great opportunity. So what we do is we introduce them to the university systems. We got great partnerships with them, with the ambassadors, with community leaders, and we bring them all together. It's really kind of interesting. We had a company come in one day, and the governor sits down with a lot of them. The governor has actually even cooked some of them meals at his home, which it says a lot about the governor.
No surprise, though, either, yeah.
But the governor wants us to focus on jobs making $55,000 or more a year. So it's livable wages so that people can actually own some of these homes that have skyrocketed and gets us in a good place. So we target companies that are interested in quality of life and that has these sorts of jobs available. We're not looking at major infrastructure impacts into the communities. We're looking at more something that fits. We're not only looking at photonics and quantum, but in some of these smaller communities like Glendive, we brought in Brextel Ammo. Yeah. I mean, we are working with the industries that the communities want. I don't want to push somebody into Vaughn's community that he doesn't want or the community doesn't want, but we get a chance to take these companies to these communities that are interested. We send out an RFI, and they get to actually experience it. And what they find is that Montana is real. There's not a bunch of pomp and circumstances. You're not going to see the glitz. You're going to get to see real people. And they're allowed to talk to them any way they want. We just introduce them to real people that they're going to be around. And it has been, you know, I had always figured 10 to 1 as far as bringing people in. You know, you get a deal flow, so you need 100 deals to mm-hmm. The governor and I were walking down his hallway the other day, and he looks up at the wall and he says, "You know what this is?" And I says, "Well, it looks like red carpet events." And he says, "I wanted cutting ribbons to cover this wall." He says, "At this pace, we're going to cover both walls."
Nice.
So it's working quite well.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Vaughn, too, because when you talk about, you know, working with companies that are going to come in, Paul, they're going to probably, you know, talk with you first. And you said, well, that's going to affect Baker. Let's go talk with Vaughn over in southeastern Montana. When Denbury came in, they brought some jobs. I mean, you can talk about what they're doing probably better than I can. They're kind of refitting their pipes for carbon versus oil, for carbon capture and sequestration. What was that like? Talk about... Was it overhanded? Overreaching, I guess, is the right word for it. But go ahead and talk about when Denbury came in to Baker, how did they respond to the local economic development community?
Well, I think Denbury, now turning over to Exxon, they've just always been a great community partner.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those are the kind of businesses that Commerce is trying to attract to Montana, not just somebody who's going to come here like, great, we're going to make some money here and then, you know, and not be a part of Montana. And that's what Denbury and Exxon have done. It's, you know, they've become a community partner and they're helping with all these different aspects of the community. And I think that's a huge part of the business attraction program. Through Commerce is that these businesses we're bringing in are the right businesses for the communities.
How do you determine that then?
It has to be a relationship. I mean, we look at Vacom. Vacom, it's a German company that's doing a tremendous amount of work up at Lewistown. When you look at it, it's like, why would a photonic semiconductor vacuum specific company choose Lewistown? Well, we visited it. And when it was visited, it reminded the gentleman from Germany of his hometown. It made him feel at home. So, I mean, that's quality of life.
Yeah.
It's very special.
And you can't do that over the phone.
No.
Yeah. So what else are they looking for? I mean, you know, they kind of want a hand up, but I don't think that's what they're looking for. That's some of the tools, I think, and that's maybe a bad way to put it. That's some of the tools that you have to operate, to encourage
right.
them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's funny. You know, some of the misnomers is that we give them incentives.
Yeah.
And there are states that do. We do not. Yeah. We offer them, the governor says, we're going to offer them three things, a great quality of life, a workforce that won't quit. They will work at 40 below. And we're also going to give them a business climate where they can succeed. And that's it. Other than that, we partner. We use the tools that we have, such as, you know, one of the things that is always seems to be coming up at the legislature is TIFs. So if a small community uses TIFs to bring in a company, great. That's a local control. We want local control. But at the same time, we're going to work with the Department of Labor. We're going to work with the university system to develop the workforce. We're going to do all the things that we can within our toolbox to help them out. But we're not going to bait and switch them by giving them these huge incentive packages. And then once it's gone, we're going to suck them dry with taxes. No.
Right.
What you see is what you get in the state of Montana.
That's good. Here's the field. This is what it's going to be the same way for everybody. But they need energy, right?
They do. They do. And I have probably 2 gigs worth of ask right now, and that was really our problem. I am very excited to see. I'm not against green energy, but we need to have that base load so we can combine everything. And I see as Northwest has just purchased out Puget Sound, it's going to be a huge impact.
Yeah, I like their direction, you know, and I think there's more to Colstrip than people are giving it.
Definitely.
Know. Yeah, I think it'll last longer than folks say. All right, we're gonna come back, and I know it's not necessary. We haven't talked about the tech hub, but we will. But I want to get to some ranching. I want to get to some Texas six-man football because you got a story to tell there. Director Paul Green is in studio. He's the Commerce Director for the state of Montana. We also have a friend, Von Zenko, who's with SMART, the Southeast Montana Area Revitalization Team. I'm just going to go with SMART on that. Okay?
You don't have to say it every time.
Yeah, I don't have to say it every time. That's over 200 staffers in the Commerce Department. Studies rank Montana as the number one place to start a business in the country. That doesn't happen by accident. Director Paul Green is with us here, Commerce Director, our special guest. We have Von Zenko in studio as well with Economic Development at SMART in Eastern Montana, based in Baker. And Paul, it's great to have you here in studio. I know we're chatting some Texas six-man football. Paul coached some football. Well, you've done a ton of things. And, you know, banker, rancher, representative, and now Commerce Director. Before we get to talking Texas six-man football, because you had something to do with this, and they've got a doubleheader with some Texas teams next week in Montana. That's going to be cool. But I want to talk about housing, because the Housing Task Force just released a report. I haven't gotten into it much at all, Paul, but I think we are kind of familiar with the struggles that we have with our housing. And it's affecting businesses, not in a small way anymore. It's affecting businesses in a large way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we're looking at recruiting businesses, and housing, of course, is important. I mean, one of the things, of course, we're trying to do is we're trying to get Montanans these jobs, and instead of bringing people in, and I think that that's going to help. But in the end, we have to. It's a unique impact to the state that we've never had to deal with before. I mean, COVID has done a few things, and it's pushed us outside of our comfort zone. So we have to come up with unique ideas to to meet these unique challenges. And some of the things that we're doing is like shared equity with some of the surplus that we had last session. I think that that's going to help. I don't necessarily think it's going to solve the problem. We have over 10,000 families that are spending greater than 30% of their median household income on rent. And that's what, as a banker, that's what I look for. If you can pay 30% of your median household income, I want that in a mortgage. So 10,000 people are renting for the value that they could be buying.
Yeah.
But you can't save enough money for that down payment. So with House Bill 819 that I carried and sponsored last session, it's a shared equity program that actually allows you to leverage the state's money as well as yours, but not for free. I mean, there's not a grant that's going to solve this problem.
Right.
It's a revolving opportunity to get people in and out of the program. But what I'm encouraging is some of our private companies that come in with large impacts is to use shared equity with their employees so that they get the benefit of basically if they bring in $100,000 and the employee has a $300,000 loan, they're leveraging, they're taking $100,000 and leveraging $400,000 on the equity. But it's not a taxable employee benefit, but it is an investment benefit to the company. So it's unique.
Well, and that's where, you know, TIFs, as you mentioned, tax increment financing came from, was creative ways to use equity and turn that into something of value for more production in the community.
Without, you know, how does a community like Baker bring in the infrastructure? Listen, I dropped 300 employees into Baker and they're like, holes, we've got sewer, we got water, we got roads, we got... What are they going to do? They're going to turn and look at Helena and say, hey, you did this to us. We need the help.
Yeah.
No, give them the tools that they can affect themselves. It's just a smart way. They wouldn't have come in there unless the town wanted them. So let the town benefit from it.
And Baker, Vaughn, is uniquely positioned for something like that because you had the Keystone XL pipeline. You guys were making preparations for that to come through, but that was yanked off the table unjustifiably in my mind. So, you know, talk about that dynamic then where you're preparing for something and then what happens if it doesn't materialize?
Well, it's like a bomb gets dropped in the city because, I mean, you've spent 5 years preparing for something like this and then it doesn't happen. But now you're just sitting on kind of that base infrastructure. And that's what's great about a lot of Eastern Montana is we already have that energy infrastructure in place. It just needs to be activated. Like for bringing new businesses in and for creating that kind of stuff. So that's what when Keystone went down. Every change or everything that the county and the city and a lot of counties around Baker, around Fallon County, everything they'd been planning for was just wiped away.
Yeah.
And it changes the entire economic outlook. It changes the way you're doing business.
Paul, as a rancher in that area, you saw that happen. What do you take from that to commerce?
It's just the fact that we have to be creative and we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, when it comes to TIFs, we look at the fact that they're being attacked. Yeah, there are bad players, absolutely. But the bad players in certain communities that are growing and that does not change the fact that it's something good for these smaller communities. It's the only thing that many of these smaller communities have. And I'm going to fight for those TIFs. As long as they're available, we can do some changes. We can sunset. We can use our tax appeal board to say that once the bonds are paid for, do we have another project for it or not? There's some things that we can do that are reasonable, and that's what we have to be. We have to be reasonable, and we have to simplify things so that everybody understands the complexity of government. Sometimes gets in the way of common sense.
Paul Green, again, director of our Commerce Department. You spent, as you said, 30,000 miles in the first seven months on the job. I'm curious as to, and I know you're meeting with a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
But what does Tom Schultz know about commerce? What does the average Joe know about commerce that can impact their lives or impact their communities?
We are the ones that have the infrastructure, so we deal with the CDBG dollars. We deal with the housing dollars. I have an incredible division administrator in Cheryl Cohen, who's on the housing task force. There was some thoughts since I was a sponsor of House Bill 819 that I should be on there. I'm like, are you kidding me? We've got a person that's been doing this for 25 years and she's incredible at it. Why would we don't put this asset where another one should be?
Right.
Because I'm an asset, just not what everybody thinks.
Not that one. Yeah.
but the point is that
there's some joke out there. I heard people tell themselves. Yeah.
Commerce is basically developing the fertile grounds for the economy of the state of Montana. Yeah. It's you know, we work with tourism, we work with film, we work with community development. There's we're known as the junk drawer of the government.
Well, and that's a question I was kind of leading into, because you have so much diversity, I think, in our Montana economy. How do you manage all of that?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, the one thing that I never got to the third leg of my stool.
Right, yeah, I got two, three.
Yeah, the third leg of my stool is I'm tired of this east-west, urban, rural Montana. I want to bring industry in that complements everyone. So when we're looking at quantum and photonics, how does that work with Eastern Montana? It works great, because as I'm bringing these small firearms manufacturers that deal with LIDAR and deal with their optics, it fits. When we're dealing with ag technology and the test beds out of the Headwaters Tech Hub, we need test beds. We hosted 57 companies at the Select USA event the other day, and they come from Japan and they come from Taiwan, and they have no place to test their unmanned products. And this creates a great opportunity. We have land. That is a natural resource that we do have, and it can benefit everyone.
I'm going to take a break here before I do that, because I want to make sure we save some time for the six-man football story. It's that time of year, too.
Yeah, dang right.
We've been talking about That's How You Montana. It's a campaign where you're encouraging people. Look, think about, what are you doing? You wander through small towns or floating under Montana skies. How do you Montana, Director
Paul? Oh, man. My favorite is Yellowtail.
Oh, nice.
It's, you know, one thing about Yellowtail is a 70-mile lake where you can get on a boat. And in the middle of the week, you may see three or four other ones. Beautiful, gorgeous. It's just a place to relax and enjoy the beauty that this state has.
And throttle up a little bit, maybe.
Now you're talking to my kids.
Vaughn, what about you? How do you Montana?
I'm gonna go watch some high school sports. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
but get out to Medicine Rocks. Get out in Carter County. Get out to Baker Lake. Do some hiking. Do some fishing. That's how you Montana, man.
Nice. Those are all great ideas. If you want more, plan your summer road trip right in your own backyard. Just visit mt.com.
Searching for adventure that supports local community, boosts the economy, and gets you outside? Get away to one of Montana's 55 state parks. For events, park guidelines, and more, visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. See you out there.
Paul Green is with us, Commerce Director, also Vaughn Zenko in studio here. Paul, I know you taught, and I went to school there for a little while, Hysham, Montana. They were the Pirates and the Bonnies, but now they're different, right? Custer Hysham.
Rebels.
Rebels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, I feel that. So you coach some six-man football.
Yeah.
And then in learning how to do that, you called somebody from Texas. Yeah. And before you know it, you guys are tangling on the gridiron here next week.
Oh, what a cool opportunity for not only Texas, but Montana. I've coached 11-man for years. And my son went to school after COVID up in Custer, and the coach up there, Brad Hoffman, asked me to help coach, and I kind of do things a little over the top, and I was watching Texas 6, and I saw Dwayne Lee, and I'm like going, what better place to learn how to six-man coach other than the guy that's won 5 out of 7 Texas six-man state championships? So I end up going down there. We became great friends last year. When I was down there, him and his assistant coach, Ivani Cervantes, how cool would it be if we could play a game? And this was cooked up. And before I was appointed Commerce, we were rocking and rolling, getting this thing put together. Coach Suits over at Rocky agreed to host it. Pat Goldhahn, who runs the six-man football camp, put a ton of work in getting this together. So many people have participated. The Milford, Texas team and the Strawn, Texas teams raised a ton of money. They have, talk about a heavy lift, great people to do that. And we play a doubleheader at Rocky next Saturday.
That is, to me, it's a great story, an amazing story, not necessarily an unbelievable story, because yeah. there's a camaraderie that goes along with this. Yeah.
Great.
What did they teach you about six-man football?
They taught me that it's not 11 men. it's a completely different way of thinking. Yeah. You have to cover more. It's more of an area. You know, Brandon Gondaro at Highwood, he's also going to be, he'll be playing the Milford team. We're going to be playing the Strawn team. But it's such a fast-paced game. It is football, 100%, just a couple of different rules. But I think that the athleticism of people in six-man is so much more. Because if you're playing defense, you've got to account for everyone.
Yeah.
If you're playing offense, there's more space. A big guy doesn't necessarily win the fight. It's you know, you got a bunch of these little guys running around. But there is. I mean, last year we lost to Centerville, the eventual state champion. We beat the undefeated, other than us, Wyoming state champion. So Custer Hysham Melstone is somebody to be reckoned with. But we're going to really have our mettle tested with the Texas teams. But this is all about an experience for our kids as well as those Texas kids. You know, Ivani had talked to me about the fact that he wanted his kids to realize there's more than just Texas. And we want, if there's an opportunity, I'd love to see us do a home and home. And if not, what a opportunity for a lifetime for these kids.
Nice. And there is that opportunity upcoming as well. And I think Texas and Montana can share a kind of a common bond. I think the individualism is one.
The governors are very good friends. We deal with the border a little bit different with each other. I think that everybody knows that the governor sent down some help to Texas to help mm-hmm. with the border. You know, we have a camaraderie. There's an energy connection. There's so much that we, it's a relationship much like what I'm trying to build here in commerce.
So you've got, it's next Saturday. It's going to be at Rocky.
Yeah.
You got a doubleheader, six-man football.
Yep.
What time is that going to start?
I believe the first game is at 10. And the second game begins at 4.
That's going to be so cool. But there'll be people to meet. It'll be really fun.
Texas is bringing a bunch of people up. So let's represent Montana, okay?
Right. And we'll try to do the same in return, too. Vaughn, how are the Baker Spartans looking this year?
Spartans are looking fantastic. Yeah. They're going to be a good team this year. I'm excited.
Who else is strong in your area?
Oh, you got Huntley Project. You got Red Lodge. Colstrip is always a talented team, though they've dropped with numbers a little bit. But it's the Eastern B, man. That's where it's at. That's where it's going to be this year.
You ever call a six-man game or an eight-man game?
Oh, man. Ekalaka, yeah. Weibo.
It's fun.
If you haven't been to a six-man football game, you get out there.
It's a track meet.
Get out there and
too.
Watch this.
Yeah. Hey, Director Green, thank you so much. Thank you for your service with the U.S. Navy and your continued service to the public here in Montana, too.
Thank you very much.
The store is always open to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Vaughn, good job, man.
Hey, thanks.
You're on the air on September, well, maybe even sooner, right?
Okay.
yeah. We'll do the third and the fourth with Vaughn Zenko here in studio. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Cody. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.